Do you love and hate the hospitality industry? Then you are in the right spot. Join your hosts, Kyle and Sarah, Sean Walsheth, and Jensen Cummings as they talk shop and give real insights into the latest restaurant news and most pressing issues facing hospitality professionals today. Welcome in to the Restaurant Idea Factory.
Hey, welcome into Restaurant Idea Factory with, that's Sean, that's Kyle. I'm Jensen. What's today? March 3rd. You guys, it's March. And we're going to be getting into riff. We're in double digits. What is this?
Double digits. Let's go.
We're done with the double O's. We're talking Meet Adam, the Boba Tea Barista Robot. Restaurants need to answer the damn phone. And what level in hospitality did 9 out of 10 owners start out at? All right, we also got some other stuff. What else we got? We got automating sales tech. We're going to launch the Davos segment. I'm excited about that. Yes. We'll get into that in just a minute. Running after an ice cream truck, Marquis got us talking about. And then if we got time, celebrity-owned pizza joint is in the mix. It seems like it's pizza or burgers with most of these concepts.
Go for pizza, yeah.
All right, I've been loving the, you know, getting to know us, random facts stuff. I think a lot of people have as well. And this has been super fun. I'm going to kick this off today because I love spicy food, right? 9 times out of 10, I am fucking really disappointed with spicy food because it's either as spicy as mayonnaise or they're trying to melt your face off. I'm like it's never like a 6, 7, or 8. It's like a 2 and they call it spicy, or it's a 47 and they're just trying to hurt you. So I always have this beef with
Chipotle aioli
food. Awesome. You guys like spicy food?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm with you. I like spicy, but not like destroy. Like, yeah, destroy the whole meal.
See, I can do that. I can do the one chip challenge, Dave's insanity hot sauce. No. I can do that level. When I was a kid,
that's not
in San Diego, no. In Vista, California, in elementary school, you know, the pickled jalapenos that go on shitty nachos.
I love those.
Dude, the Chicanos would always try and challenge me and see who can eat more hot stuff. And I would crush like 100 of those in like one nonstop sitting. And that was my first hustle. That was the first way I got lunch money. The hot food eating challenge.
I was the person that was convincing people like you to do stupid shit.
Oh, yeah.
I was the one gathering the crowd around. Like, come look at what Jensen's about to do.
That's perfect. That makes sense.
And I had no iPhone at the time. Imagine if I had an iPhone.
How can I pick up 75 cents? That was my life growing up.
Come on, you got to come see what this guy's about to
do. Spicy chicken sandwich is, for me, is like one of those things. Like if you have a spicy chicken sandwich, I'm on my way. Just let me know in the comments. You have a spicy chicken sandwich, I'm on my way. Which means Betsy picks up every spicy chicken sandwich anywhere she goes. So the reason I'm talking about this today is today she picked up Panera's new spicy chicken sandwich.
Oh, no.
It's fucking trash.
Yeah. Oh,
embarrassing.
Oh,
embarrassing. You know, the only part that was
shots fired
decent was the bun because they do it okay. Fired. Dude, it was bad. It was the kind of sandwich, you know, these where they bread it, but they just go.
I thought it's chef inspired. Isn't it chef inspired?
They just blow flour on there. So you see the black spots.
I don't like chef inspired content.
It had some spicy mayonnaise, but really it had crispy, like, pickle chips. It had like fried pickle chips. It basically tasted like a fried pickle sandwich with some burnt chicken on it that wasn't breaded properly and some mayonnaise that maybe had a little bit of sriracha in it.
Ew.
I'm sorry, God. Panera, you're on blast. You've been called out. So let me know about your chicken sandwich.
That's not, the way I feel about Chick-fil-A. I've yet to have a good Chick-fil-A sandwich. Mm.
You can eat like 74 of those nuggets, but can't do the chicken sandwich.
Wait, what did you just say?
Chick-fil-A is awful.
What?
Awful.
What's wrong with you?
I have a palate.
What's wrong with you?
I have a palate.
What, you don't like Taco Bell either?
Next, you're going to tell me you don't like Taco Bell?
No.
What's happening here? The show's gone sideways.
Jeez, what is happening here?
Won't be on the show.
We're now in the fast food wars of fuck In-N-Out fries, Chick-fil-A sandwiches, garbage, Panera fried chicken sandwich, trash. Taco Bell is just, oof, man.
Taco Bell is genuinely upset.
Taco Bell is basically for everybody in their commercials. They're all 18 to 22 years old, and They can't afford real food yet.
There is a Mexican place over here that does like they do a Mexican pizza, like a Taco Bell style one. I'll go for that. It's a little elevated, maybe a little bit too much for you, Sean. But
Chef inspired.
Chef inspired. Sean, I mean, who else would be inspired by?
I actually wanted to ask you a question, so I'm going to steal your rando fact.
Yes, 100%. Okay.
World traveler thing. We were just on a meeting and with somebody in Buenos Aires, and you said, "Oh, I love Buenos Aires. Been there." And you're like, "Oh, I'm a world traveler," and so I wanted to know top 3-4 cities outside of the United States that you've been. Let us know.
Top 3 or 4 cities outside. Well, number one has got to be where my wife is from, Vratza. I have a special affinity.
Solid answer. I expected that.
Towards Vratza. That's in Bulgaria. It's about 2 hours north of the capital of Bulgaria. It reminds me of Boulder. I went to CU. It was the first university I attended. So it's kind of, you know, Boulder's the start of the Flatiron Mountains in Colorado. And in Vratza, it's actually the start of the Balkan Mountains. So if you see two pictures of Vratza and Boulder next to each other, they're pretty much like, oh my God, is that the same place? And well, no.
Are there a lot of Trustafarians like playing guitar for money?
No, definitely not. Not in Vratza. The other place would be Alicante, Spain, which is where I lived. And that was on the Mediterranean. That's south of Barcelona. I was there for 6 months.
Oh man.
The other place would be Sydney, Sydney Opera House. I went
great opera house there.
Yep. I also went scuba diving on the Great Barrier Reef, which was absolutely incredible. I did that with my grandfather. And then, I don't know, another random place. My brother was born in Japan. So he was born in Okinawa, Japan. And I lived there for 1 year when I was 4 years old. I don't remember it, but I have photos of living in Japan for a year. Look at that.
That's a solid list. We were fully around the globe on that one, man.
Not bad, right? Does that classify as world traveled?
Solid. You hit 3 continents out of 4 countries. I think that's pretty good. You got the heart of Europe and you got Eastern Europe block as well. So I think you got it covered. Nice. Those are two pretty strong starts there, Kyle. I don't know what you got.
No pressure, Kyle.
What do you want to be, my cities?
No, just give us a random fact. I hijacked Sean's. You get wide open. At large bid, what do you got?
A random fact? Shit.
You hate real estate.
I hate real estate.
I hate landlords.
I hate landlords. That's also true. I put that out there.
If you've ever seen Kyle's TikTok, you know that he hates real estate. I was watching some of your menu items that have to go away. Why don't you tell us the top 3 menu items?
Oh yeah.
We had like, I stopped watching after like a dozen. I was like, this fucking guy hates every appetizer and every Americana bar and grill.
No mozzarella sticks, no Brussels sprouts, nothing.
There's only 20 menu items on all of those. There's only 20 appetizers, and it's like a fucking draft board. They just pick and choose the exact same ones. You tell me it's an American style bar and grill, I can tell you what they have.
TGIF and then picks the appetizers.
What are the 3 that have to go away? Top 3.
No.
All right, top 3.
Bottom 3, I should say.
Easy. Avocado toast. Truffle parm fries and Brussels sprouts.
Bacon Brussels sprouts or just straight Brussels
sprouts? Fuck all Brussels sprouts.
Ooh,
first of all, growing up, was anybody like, oh, these are so great?
And then they were like boiled or out of a fucking can.
Yeah, but like if you gotta put a bunch of crap on, it might as well be anything. Could be that you could probably cut the ends off a head of romaine, put the bacon around it. Put some fucking sauce on. People are like, wow, these are so delicious.
Those are chef inspired. There you go, Sean. Did you write that down?
Chef inspired.
That's going to be on a menu. Wait.
That's on somebody's menu.
Ready? Here's what I'm talking about, though. Like, baby artichokes. Piccata, like that, with lemon cape or something. That's creative. If I see another Brussels sprout, if I go to a place and there are Brussels sprouts on the menu, I'm not going back.
Brussels sprout is almost on its way out. Now it's like the buffalo cauliflower has replaced.
How about a bacon wrap stuffed jalapeno?
Sure.
Because we just brought that back.
I don't eat that. But it's also very relatable to the concept.
Yeah.
Like what really started me on that whole thing about all the restaurant menu items that should go away was we were at a nice, like a very fancy Midtown Greek restaurant.
Elevated chef.
Chef-inspired restaurant.
Chefs fuck everything up.
The guy was like rattling off all these specials. And then like, do you guys want some truffle parm fries for the table? I was like...
No.
Why? Like, you just tried to sell us an $80 whole fish, and now we're going to buy $12.
There's not even any truffle in truffle oil. It's fucking butane gas, man. That shit's nasty. I think I already said this on the show. Betsy has to ask for her truffle fries because she likes that shit in a separate bag, because I don't even want it tainting the air around my food.
Oh, man.
I'm with you 100%.
Taint is a good word.
Tainting my food. All right, that was solid rambling about nothing. Love it. Learning a lot about you guys.
Yeah,
I dig it.
Buenos Aires, you ready? Here we go.
I have a script here, guys. Now I'm trying to follow a script here, so we have some structure to our show here.
Good luck.
Good luck.
I don't know what to do. Go to the website. What do you guys want from people right now? About this.
Oh, yes.
Join our Rifters community at restaurantideafactory.com.
Please.
Let's do that.
Start a Brussels sprout fan page.
I know the Brussels sprouts threw me off. I was like, I love throwing Brussels sprouts in the turkey deep fryer after the turkey's done. That's about the only time I cook those.
that's chef inspired right there.
Let's go. Let's go. All right. Let's get in this first segment. So Sean, I'm going to kick this mostly to you to give us a little bit of background after we play this segment, because this is your dude, David Joseph. So we're going to be talking Sleep at Night, presented by Davo, our new segment, really inspired by the fact that it's fucking hard to get your rest when you're an entrepreneur, when you're a restaurant owner. The struggles, there's so much going through your head at all times. So really trying to set ourselves at ease and potentially using technology for that. For those who don't know, Davo automates sales tax payments and filings for a flat fee, so restaurateurs can spend time on what actually makes them money. I love that David gets into this. This is our first like cross-pollination of all of our stuff, right? We have a full show and segments from Digital Hospitality, Sean's show. We're going to be running this segment on Riff. So I like this. This is like the precursor, I think, to potentially having people on my show, Best Served Podcast, on Kyle's show, the National Restaurant Owners Podcast. So this is our first attempt at this. So I'm excited about it. So let's hear what David Joseph has to say.
There are so many details in the restaurant. You know, what's the next menu? I have to fill this position. Oh, yeah. I got a letter in the mail today from the state telling me that I missed sales tax payment 3 months ago. And they're coming after me for $25,000 when I know my monthly sales tax bill is only $8,000. How'd they come up with 25? But you're laying in bed just churning this in your head, and every number is like going around and around, and how you're going to justify, you know, this expense of $25,000 when you know it's complete BS. That you need to, but you're going to have to get all this data together to prove that, you know, and you're trying to figure out next week's menu and why your fish guy didn't get paid and whatever it is, you know. So this is why you're laying in bed after you've already placed your orders for the day and locked the door and gone home.
All of us, all three of us have PTSD when it comes to sales tax. And I think we're not all going to get into this today. Kyle and I will get on our soapbox in subsequent episodes and really talk about this, because we've all had really personal and devastating experience with this. But for today, to kick off this segment, Sean, why don't have you just kind of give us some background on the connection with Davo and what it really means for you thinking about Cali Barbecue when it comes to automating something like fucking sales tax.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give the listeners a backstory. So I went to speak at the Western Food Show in Los Angeles last year. I was speaking on stage with Chip Close, who also has another podcast called Restaurant Strategy Show. Incredible show. We were talking about storytelling, and I was actually, one of my presentations was on our restaurant tech stack. And as I was speaking, after I was done, David approached me and said, "Hey, I'm David. I work with Davo Sales Tax. I'm the co-founder of this sales tax automation. Did you know that you're using Davo?" I said, "What?" Like, I literally just put on a masterclass presentation about our technology that we use in our restaurant, all the different pieces, the financial side, the inventory.
You have like a whole
side,
flow of Coast, all of them intersect.
And Marquee and Ovation. And this guy's like, "Hey, you're using our product and you don't even know it." And I'm like, what an idiot. I need to learn more. And when he told me what they do, it literally went to the core of my being. Why I do what I do, why we put on this show, is that as restaurant owners, we never got into the business to do the unsexy stuff of running a business. So much of the shit that we have to do as restaurant owners, we don't want to do. And I'm so fortunate now, 15 years later, that I've been able to build a team so that on a Friday, I can have this conversation that's going to go all over the internet, you know, hopefully reach restaurant owners who need to hear this exact solution so that it's one step closer for them not having to work the hours that we work. It's not that we don't love the work that we do. It's just we shouldn't be in the business of collecting sales tax. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't have to worry. We shouldn't have to get that letter that Corey, my co-founder and I, when we first started our restaurant, we didn't know what the fuck we were doing. We had no idea how not to commingle funds. We were using funds that we collected from the customer, sales tax, and we were paying vendors. We were paying payroll. We were paying, God knows, whatever bill came in, we had to pay it to stay in business. What Davo does is they automate the sales tax process. They create an escrow account, tie it to your point of sale. So if you're on Toast or any of the major point of sale systems, they will tie that automation and literally collect the tax and file the tax for you. It's an incredible, I mean, it's only $49. If I could go back in time of when we were running the restaurant, it was the first thing. Literally, first thing I do is I get a point of sale system that I trust, which I use Toast. And then all of a sudden, the next thing on my tech stack is going to be Davo. I don't want to deal with sales tax. Like, help me solve that problem. Davo's doing it. And, you know, I hope that restaurant owners that hear this, they go, shit, I don't want to deal with that anymore. Let me talk to my accountant. Let me figure out, you know, how do I set this up? Literally, you can set it up in 5 minutes. You can go to Davo's website and set it up in 5 minutes, not have to think about it. All of a sudden, you don't have to have that uncomfortable conversation with your wife, with your business partner, with your investors, with your team saying, I have no fucking clue how we're going to pay this $30,000 bill, which is a conversation that I've had to have.
Yeah. I know, like looking at the whole time you're talking, I'm looking at Kyle's face because both of us have similar horror stories. And a lot of what we do now is like flipping the script on something we didn't understand because we're just so cash flow minded that we're like, look at all this money in the bank. So we're going to hold off on telling you our sob stories on this because we got lots more to talk about in the sales tax space. So yeah, automating that process and just getting it out of our hands is huge.
Six figures in fines and penalties we had.
Okay. Kyle's like seething, like frothing. Dude. I know, because we've been messaging about it and it's it's painful and it's embarrassing to get into that space. So I appreciate this work. And I'm excited also to have David Joseph on here because he's a restaurant guy, you know, owned a restaurant for 15 years and he scratched his own itch. He solved his own problem. That's what Davo ended up being, which I love. And Andy's just a hilarious fucking New Englander too, so I think we're gonna have a lot of fun, so keep an eye out. We're also going to take that segment Sleep at Night and weave in some stories from some actual operators as well. So I like that. That's kind of a new test for us, so a lot more everybody to come from Davo and this Sleep at Night segment. All right, let's get into our next segment here. We got our boy Avi. It's coming at us with reading reviews presented by Marquee. Marquee is a one-stop digital operations platform for no-touch digital menu and listing updates. This was in your tech stack. you didn't leave them out. You left Davo out, but we got Marquee in there. They're key, 100%. All right, what do we got this week?
I love getting a chance to learn more about the Rift team last week. Jensen, I also grew up in an immigrant household, which means I brought some bizarre ass food to school for lunch for all of elementary school, whether it was leftover cold artichokes, cold pastel de choclo, which is like this Chilean corn meat lasagna dish, or of course the argument with my parents when I just wanted to have a normal PB&J. But now there's nothing I love more than Chilean food, so I totally get it. However, we thought we'd maybe lighten the mood a little bit this week. We found some of the most ridiculous reviews we could find online. It was quite an endeavor, but I think we got some real gems. Here's the first one. The entire kitchen and waitstaff saw an ice cream truck and ran outside, leaving me alone in the restaurant. 10 minutes later, they all came back with ice cream cones. I can't believe this actually happened. One star. look, there are certain schedules we all have to respect and abide by, flight times, Long Island Railroad. But whenever you hear the magical sound of an ice cream truck, you might just need to act on it. If they brought a cone back for the customer, maybe they would have been less upset. On this next one, the restaurateur absolutely nails the response. The reviewer wrote, "These guys are smarmy hipsters who moved up here from Connecticut to sell pierogies to tourists. No respect for the people who live and work in this community." The owner then replied, "We're offering up a dozen free pierogi for anyone who greets the staff as you smarmy hipsters. Sometimes you just got to own it."
I love that.
That's my favorite marquee segment we've had today. One, so much love, Avi. Really appreciate that. I'm so glad that, again, these rando facts about us apparently are the best part of the show. So, and I absolutely want some Chilean food. Now, guys, we need to get down to Austin, hang out with Avi, and eat all the Chilean food. I'm super into this. I think I got to kick this to Kyle, because they're coming up from Connecticut. So what's
going on there?
We don't understand the dynamic up there of this vitriol. What's going on?
I have no idea. I don't know. I'm not the one. I mean, I guess Connecticut has a certain connotation. I don't know. I still don't see myself as
pierogies from Connecticut are not welcome, apparently. They said coming up from, so they got to be somewhere further north than.
But that's the thing. If you're going up to, I don't know where that was, like in Boston or New England. So there's a large community up there that, you know, they're from like Brazilian, and there's Portuguese, and they got their pierogies and all their things nailed down. I don't know, but I'm still stuck on the shmarmy hipsters. That's phenomenal. I love that. That's like the place to put out that said, like, come try the worst meatball sandwich in, you know, town because of somebody. Yeah, owning it. Like we were talking about this morning with Frontier. Same deal. Own your shit is phenomenal. It's the M&M, like Gary Vee talks about. It's the M&M thing. Take all the bullets out of their gun and there's nothing else to talk about.
That's right. That's right. Okay, ice cream truck, Kyle. Are you running after the ice cream truck? What's going on there?
If my staff ran after for the ice cream truck, they better keep running out. Keep going. Keep run. Don't come back. That's what I would say. Unless
don't come back.
unless they pulled a power move, like the person said, and brought back an ice cream cone for the guest,
that's amazing. The gangster move.
That's like the guy from 11 Madison Park. Did you hear that? I think, did we talk about that on here?
Yeah, we'll
like,
talk about that. You know?
The hot dog. That's legendary. But no, you know, probably I would be like, yeah, you can have the ice cream. You can have the rest of the ice cream all weekend too. Don't come back.
The one that I always liked for that kind of mindset, what Will talked about with going in the hot dog, was going and paying people's meters that would park. Like everywhere I worked was like downtown. So, you know, they'd park and they'd be like, oh, I got to go feed the meter. And we'd be like, what kind of car? Where is it? And not only would we send somebody out to go do a host or a bartender or a barback or somebody, we would also just pay for that. Like we wouldn't make them rummage for change or whatever it was. So I like that kind of, that's the level of hospitality. They'll never forget that. You could have served them the best fried chicken sandwich ever, but they'll remember and tell people about you paying their meters. So I'm a big fan of that. And
I want to give Avi and the team a shout out. So one of the things that we talk about on this show, it's so important to understand the humans behind the hospitality brands that are not just supporting the show, but that are moving our restaurants forward. I reached out to them because I've had this issue with Google Maps, and Avi and his team, they literally went in and helped me because we went from Cali Comfort Barbecue to Cali Barbecue. That's right. Yet Google Maps keeps switching it back to Cali Comfort Barbecue, no matter how many times I go in and update it. So not only does he help us on the platform side of the marquee side, but they actually have digital hospitality specialists that will go in and help us with those listings. The fact that there's 82 different places that our menu can be online, Marquee will help you, not just with their platform, but they have a team. Like if you have a unique situation, reach out to the team and they will make sure that your branding is correct so the customers find you.
Shout out. Right, let's get into this next segment. We're talking robots. I don't know why now. Every time I think about the robots, I think about our boy Troy Hooper, right? His partner Massimo is part of Miso Robotics, which I'm hearing about a lot. But these guys here's the article. They're talking about Adam. If Baymax was a boba tea barista, from Design Rush by Marge Serrano, and this is Rich Tech Robotics that shared this with us. So shout out to them for giving us something good to talk about. Let's take a look at this robot. with this like really sexy music. I don't know if Corey put it on or if this is from their actual promo video. Here's a couple seconds of it though. Right? Sexy.
That was sexy music.
I told my boys, I was like, hey, look at this. Does this look like Baymax? So they're watching it make the drink, make the tea, whatever. And they start going off. Yeah, but does it have a shooting robotic hand? Can it fly? Does it have wings? They start going off on all the superpowers that Baymax has. It's like, maybe. Yeah. I feel like these things might be weaponized to be able to take over someday.
Weaponized Boba Tea guy firing tapioca pearls.
That's exactly right. Today it's Boba Tea. Tomorrow it's world domination. I don't know who wants to pick this up. What do you guys think about robots? Hey, Sean, you were just
I'm all in on robots. Dude, we went to Mama. Yeah, we talked about it last week. I went to Mama Ramona's and they have a server, so a robot essentially kind of like a Roomba. So it helps instead of bringing a tray stand, you know, as a server will bring a tray stand, they just load up the robot with pizza and pasta. And the robot came and brought all of the pizza and pasta to our table. Literally, my daughter, 3-year-old daughter, Mila, my 5-year-old son, Colleen, when are we going to the robot restaurant? Every single day. Oh, we're going to go meet our friends here. Can we go to the robot restaurant? I want to see the robot. I want to see the robot. Like the amount of energy that because it's something different, because it's something unique. And, you know, even the server themselves said, this would normally take me 2 or 3 trips. And now it's just a novelty coming out there. You know, it's, I think.
Yeah. That was Baymax, my first question to you when I saw your video that you posted of it, is they load up and then the server standing there and still standing there.
Yep.
And still standing there and the robot's going. And then the robot has to redirect like the Roomba does because they're at the wrong angle. And the server's still fucking standing there. I was like, that seems like they're just standing there waiting for this damn robot to hurry the hell up.
They
actually said, though, that did save them time.
They did say that it saved them time. Yeah.
Okay. That was my first instinct. I was like, this is taking forever.
Yeah.
But it moves quickly enough? Or is it just kind of like, I mean, Roombas move pretty slow.
It doesn't move the way that hospitality people move, but the fact like
not as fast as them running for the ice cream truck
from a marketing and branding standpoint. I mean, as a father with young kids, like,
oh yeah,
I mean,
entertainment
it is literally better than Chuck E. Cheese for my kids. Like they as soon were, as I said, all, Baymax, they're all in.
They like freaked all out. In.
And, how long before kids jump on those things are riding around the restaurant?
The better question is how long before there's a robot at Cali Barbecue? Because that's next week.
What about if they come like, what is that, Boston Robotics? They do like those real humanoid looking ones. Like
the ones that can do flips and stuff.
Yeah, they're backflipping the banquettes with the food.
Yeah.
That's coming, right?
They're doing backflips, bringing out ribs, doing backflips and bringing ribs to your table.
That one can go get ice cream whenever it wants.
It probably will have an ice cream maker on it. There'll be a Paco jet on the top of it. It'll just serve
Paco jet
directly to you at the table. It'll be churning the ice cream. I think that makes sense. It'll save room in the kitchen. It's interesting when you talk about the branding side of it, because it was actually Timothy Tanksley from Rich Tech Robotics who sent this to us, and he's quoted in there saying, Atom is intended to be basically a way to attract guests and a way to make drinks fully automated and very efficient. The automated and efficient makes sense. So the attract guest sides I was interested in. So they spent obviously a lot of time on the sleekness of the design. Oh,
yeah, for like sure.
Boston Robotics, that thing looks creepy as hell. They have not spent any time on the design and look and feel of that. They definitely have here. So that's an interesting play as well, where it needs to be a draw.
I mean, Andrew Simmons told me himself the amount of people that drive up the hill from San Diego, because Ramona is about an hour outside of San Diego, that literally just come to see the robot. They've heard about the robot. They've seen the robot. They've seen it on social media. Like, it's a thing. And if you guys don't think it's a thing, like, don't
that
be
seems
surprised.
Like a stretch to me, but I'm into it.
Don't be a surprise when there's a robot at Cali Barbecue. I'm telling you.
Can't wait for that.
Well, hold on. We have a couple minutes for this. What's the first job that you see? Is it running out food? Is that the first job you see?
Yeah, because it's the easiest thing to do.
And you guys have big plates.
But eventually, as we build out the smokehouse and the media center, like the amount of tasks that a robot can do, the Chippies of the world, you know, the Miso robotics. I mean, there are things that we do on a regular basis that a robot could do. They're not going to do them as well as Bernice or Artemio. They're going to have to be there supervising the cooking process, but there are definitely opportunities for robots in restaurants. And if you don't think so, I think you're wrong.
I wonder about robotics.
That's chef-inspired robot.
Yeah, for sure.
Robot-inspired. This episode, chef-inspired by...
by the robot.
I wonder about just even the loading of the smokers, robotic arms to be able to load those smokers. I remember my now soft former chef hands, you know, when I was there at Cali.
Oh yeah.
Bernice was laughing her ass at me.
Did I make you
loading up the smoker? And I'm like, ooh, it's hot.
Did I make you load the pit? I think I did.
Yeah. I loaded up some ribs, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
Took me, unlike the robot that might do it faster, took me 14 times
a free lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Made me work for my lunch, man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
load up these 500 pounds of ribs.
That goes for anybody in the audience. If you make it to Cali Barbecue, I'll put you to work.
Sounds awesome.
We'll make some content, but you'll have to
can't load wait.
You got to get nine on a rack, nine correct. Racks on a rack, and then I can't remember how many arms there were total on it, six or something like that.
We get 120 racks of ribs on one Old Hickory pit.
Oh, they didn't make me load the whole thing, Kyle. No. They're like, this is taking too long. Our lunch is getting cold. Let's go.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. If you don't want to do it again, don't do it well. Just be like, hey, I'm not.
That's my secret to dishes at my house. What are you talking about?
That's husband advice there. Oh, no. Husband
advice. What are you talking? Don't tell them. Don't share the secret.
We're going to get in trouble from our wives, Kyle. Come on.
Wait, are you a good dishwasher? Let's talk about it. Are you a good, do you wash dishes well?
I do all the dishes.
You do?
At the house. Yep.
Do you, Kyle?
No. I hate the dishes.
Because you can't. You're not good enough.
The only reason I cook at home is so I don't do the dishes.
Subpar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My grandfather used to get irate.
I cook and I clean up the kitchen.
Nah. My grandfather used to get irate if you cleared the table and you stacked the plates, because now he loved to like take his shirt off and have like the wife beater and would wash the in between courses. And then he's like, if you put it on the bottom, now I got to wash the bottom.
Yeah. Wow. That happens in my house too. Don't make me wash the bottom. Actually, don't ever bust a table. At Bulgarians, you don't bust tables.
What do you do?
Just eat. You bring out all the courses: appetizer, main course, dessert.
Everything hits the table at the same time.
It's disrespect if you take the table away. It means that you're ending dinner.
Interesting. Yeah. Even like at your house, like at dinner time, everything comes out.
At my own restaurant, when my in-laws came to my restaurant, they were pissed at our servers for busting the table. Like, hey, what are you doing?
A robot was
shit out of your way.
For them, it's like, no, I'm still here to eat.
Correct.
That's like in Spain, if they drop the check to, like, if you ask for the check, they're like, what do you, you don't like it? You don't like hanging out here?
Yeah, you want me to leave? Yeah.
We got to get into this. There was an article, actually, it might be set up for next week, that I think just came out. That was talking about things that servers don't want you to do at restaurants.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to get into that
one in next week for sure.
Not only with certain styles of dining or expectations, we talked about kids in restaurants, right? Kids getting banned from restaurants and us thinking we're the good patrons with kids, but what does that actually mean? Oh, that's good. We need to get into that next week for sure. Cuz sometimes you think you're doing the right thing and you're a fucking asshole. You need to step off, apparently.
Oh, we thought we had a family-friendly restaurant until I actually had kids, and I realized, oh, maybe that family-friendly that I thought I did when I was 25 opening up this restaurant. I'm like, nope.
until you get a robot, apparently you're not actually a kid-friendly restaurant.
Until you bring a car seat into a restaurant.
This episode is completely devolved. I absolutely love it. Let's actually talk about... Riff on the road. Sean, I'm going to kick this to you because we are starting to have activations outside of our tiny little boxes here on this screen. We're going to be popping up around the country. We got a couple things coming up over the next few months. You want to hit us with that?
Sure. So two events happening here in March. Next week, I will be in San Francisco for a Restaurant 365 event. restaurant transformation tour that's happening on March 9th. If you want more information, I will get you tickets. Just send me a message on Instagram at Sean P. Walchef, S-H-A-W-N-P-W-A-L-C-H-E-F. But the part of the biggest purpose of this show is to bring restaurant owners together. And whenever we can activate wherever we are, whether that's if you're in Colorado, if you're in New York, if you're in San Diego, like I said, I'll be in San Francisco next week. I'll be actually doing the show from the person that I started
on location, is that they call it?
No, it won't be on location, but I'll be at Corey's house. Corey's the guy I started Cali Barbecue with, and me and my family are staying with him. But that is Restaurant Transformation Tour. So if you if you're a Restaurant 365 client, or if you're not, if you're just a restaurant owner or in the hospitality business in San Francisco, please come and say what's up. And then the other one's March 20th, Spark LA. So if you're in the Los Angeles area, Spark LA, Toast is putting on a one-day show. I'm trying to convince Kyle to come out and activate a restaurant idea factory. But yeah, if you guys are listening to this show, we want to meet you and we want to meet in real life. We want to learn about your restaurant, how we can help each other. We've got a lot of incredible partners that are activating all over. So the more that you guys tell us what you who you are, what you do, the more that we can create some really cool shit together.
Well, then, Kyle, when's, is it this weekend? The New York Food Show. You're going to be there?
Yeah, International Restaurant Food Service Show is actually starts Sunday to Tuesday this week. So I'll be there probably Sunday afternoon and Monday.
Oh, I can't wait to see some of that content. I saw Davo's going to be there for sure. I saw Marquee is going to be there. So we need some on-location content. And we're going big then at the National Restaurant Association show, May 20th through the 23rd, Chicago. Yep. That's the granddaddy of them all.
We'll all be there. All three of us.
All three of us are going to be there.
IRL.
And you.
IRL.
And you, the person listening, the restaurant owner listening.
Yeah, so we're going to follow up a bunch. Tell us if you listen to this and you already know you're going to the NRA show, let us know. We're going to be putting out a lot of questions to find out who's going to be there, what they're doing. We're going to be popping up at booths all over the place, doing little street style interviews with people on the concourse. We're going to be doing interviews at booths with some of our partners, trying to bring that content and storytelling game to conferences, which are severely anemic when it comes to that storytelling pre, during, and post. So we're trying to do what we do and disrupt that game. So I'm excited about all that. And we're about to like buy flights and book Airbnbs any day for NRA.
It's already confirmed. We're going.
It's already been brought in.
Damn.
All right.
Going down.
Let's get into this next segment. Yes, emphasizing teams presented by Seven Shifts. I don't know if you can see, both Kyle and I are rocking the Seven.
Did you do an unboxing video?
I gotta move. I mean, we got it on our stories. There's a picture that Kyle posted.
What? Have I not taught you anything?
You're the worst.
Oh my god, you literally got this from Seven Shifts. They sent you all of this love in the care, and you didn't get an unboxing video.
Sent an amazing handwritten note, was like really gracious and nice. And Betsy already stole the hat because it's totally her swagger and style. I love the black and white.
I'm out of here. This is amateur hour.
I'm just like a kid on Christmas morning, man. I just like ripped it apart. Over here.
Go box it back up and unbox it.
I'm going to do the reboxing video.
You better rebox it and say, I'm sorry, Seven Shifts.
Seven Shifts. Well, what does Seven Shifts do? Seven Shifts helps restaurateurs with hiring, scheduling, paying, and retaining their people. We're going to hear from Jordan here before I get into too much more trouble. Let's hear from Jordan.
So here's a fun fact. 9 out of 10 restaurant managers and owners started their career in hospitality at entry-level positions in the industry. So the choice to build a long-term career in the restaurant industry is something we should be celebrating. So why aren't we? The key part of the success is when the owner puts the team first and the diner second. So bear with me for a second. This sounds controversial, but Richard Branson once said, clients don't come first, employees do. If you take care of your employees, they'll take care of your clients. So emphasizing getting to know your employees is a big part of that. Take the time to get to know their personal interests outside of work, what their hobbies are, where would they like to be in the next several months to years? Do they plan on being here for 6 months, a year, longer? What skills do they want to learn? That kind of radical transparency is key because it helps you plan and you get a better sense of your employees. Simply asking these questions during an interview process or review process shows that you care about your prospective employees and the success that they're going to have in their own lives and careers now and in the future. Kelly Phillips of Destination Unknown Restaurant says that coaching mixed with direct and compassionate feedback has been a game changer for her team. They have team members that started as food runners who are now working in management. This cannot happen if you are not encouraging your team and building a culture of ongoing feedback between members of your team and your managers. So in summary, support their education, their interest for learning, if that's their desire. And this is something that's really important for us here at Seven Shifts. To show our support, we're running a scholarship contest right now where we're giving away two $2,000 prizes to individuals taking culinary or hospitality courses. So we want to support the growth and learning of those passionate folks in our industry, because the industry is full of passionate people. So let's elevate hospitality together.
Awesome.
Ooh, nice.
So cool. So we're going to have a link. We'll make sure Corey drops a link into the comments wherever you're watching this. Also with the extension content that we do across all the platforms that you can go and apply for that scholarship. I think that's an amazing opportunity. And I like that they're kind of opening up. It wasn't just culinary school. I've seen those sometimes. And I like thinking about just an opportunity fund, almost like what ways are you looking to elevate yourself within hospitality? So just really is so core to me in what a pick of. You have to invest in your most valuable asset, your people. And we've spent so much time investing in things that I believe don't matter near as much as people, myself included. And I always make fun of the light fixtures that were reclaimed from the Titanic that cost $2,500 that still light your table like shit, but wow, do they look cool. And then we say, wait, we don't have money to invest in our people. We can't pay them enough and we can't educate them. So it's a big fallacy of the industry, something that I fell into. Years and years later, a lot of the people that reach out to me will say two things. One, Jensen, you're an asshole. And two, I really appreciated all the educational opportunities we got. One of the things that I remember was we used to do these whole hog butchery classes with Mark Donetis from the Rocky Mountain Institute of Meat. And we'd break down a whole pig and they'd see that whole process. We'd turn it into a whole bunch of different pieces. We'd be smoking certain things. We'd be making sausage with certain things, pates, right? And then they would get to take that and also be able to run specials for lunch. And even a couple of them had items that made it to the menu. And so This was like just a really cool way to take education all the way through it, having an application within the business model, which I think is pretty important. And we just talked last week about the James Beard nominee at Meridian down in Dallas, who kind of gave the shout out to his sous chef, elevating him to the executive chef, allowing a line cook to be able to put a menu item on the menu and take it even further, like Dirty Candy does, and putting their name on the menu. Like that to me is the next level. And when we think about education, too often, I think we're thinking about it being a cost, not an investment. So that's what I want to maybe have you guys just like, let me know, how do we get people to change the mindset of going, we don't have more money to put towards something that's going to cost us, when I think it's an investment that's going to make your team more dynamic, more productive, more inspired, stay on longer and increase tenure and reduce turnover. That's my thinking on it. What do you guys think?
I think the number one thing, particularly like with these emerging groups that I deal with, you know, there's a lot of hands-on ownership, like the 3 to 5 unit level, 5 to 10, sometimes even, is the leadership training, like managerial leadership training, as opposed to, you know, there's that like hands-on stuff, which is phenomenal, back of the house stuff. I love the tastings, the classes, how to make pasta, why all these things are so important to us. But teaching them leadership and the ability to make decisions in the absence of the owner, who's like trying to be, I mean, Sean knows, hands-on in the business and trying to grow the concept is exhausting. But so many owners are locked in, like, I have to make these decisions because this is what I do. But man, if you can just empower them to make those decisions and teach them how to make those decisions, I think that's how you really build that deep bench, and then you can really expand your concept. Otherwise, it just seems like you're just spinning your wheels every day. People want to be engaged. They want to be part of the process.
I love every episode that Kyle can bring up that deep bench.
I love it.
Always building the deep bench. Yeah, do you guys have any examples of some of the education? I just thought of, because I think the three of us have back-to-back-to-back episodes on the Hospitality Leadership Podcast with Andy Jones, who's UK based, right? Yeah. He's on the Isle of Man. And so I think we have three, right? Kyle, did you end up doing an episode? Yeah. So we
I did not.
Oh man. Okay. We have back-to-back episodes. I think it's Sean and then I. So he's doing some leadership coaching. Love hearing that.
Yep.
The team at the Hispanic Restaurant Association is doing leadership training specifically for our Hispanic communities. We need to support them. I also like Culture Energizes, some really great work on language, diversity, equity, inclusion. That's a really good way to kind of think about leadership and team dynamics as well. My Make It Better Every Day is doing heart leadership training. So those are some of the entities that I always recommend people look into when they're thinking about education on kind of leadership, interpersonal communication. You guys got any more we could drop for people?
Yeah, Matt Rolfe out of Toronto or out of Canada. Yeah, I actually went up there last year. He put on an incredible hospitality leadership conference, but nice. He does leadership training up in Canada. Jay Ashton, who's part of the SVK Cisco network. So he created a media network with all different types of shows, and they're doing a lot of culinary training. And I know Seven Shifts is up there in Canada as well. But yeah, I think so much of what we don't do is fear, you know, is fear-based as owners, operators. We're scared that if we give people a skill set, they'll leave us. You know, kind of the Richard Branson, what he's talked about is that he wants people to be invested. In fact, I always say, stay curious, get involved, ask for help. That's what my grandfather taught me. And if I cut off curiosity of my most talented team, you know, I have Ian Aspinall, who's one of my managers, and he started a company called SD Small Batch Jerky. You can literally go to SD_small_batch_jerky, and he's crafting small batches of beef jerky in our old Hickory Pits.
Hey,
and if I cut him off and say, hey, Ian, I don't want you know, thinking about your business while you're here, supposed to be working for Cali Barbecue, what good is that going to do for me? Mm-hmm. I need to ignite the flame and teach him some of the lessons that I've learned and say, hey, get on social media, post videos. How can we co-collaborate? How can I inspire you? How can I give you tap into my network of coaches and leaders to help you grow your business? Because if he's growing his business, he's actually going to become an actually more effective leader for our team.
Yeah.
Oof.
You know, another thing is also in that is teaching them this such a reflex front of the house, particularly like when there's an issue that they go and get the manager or they go and get the owner. Teaching conflict resolution is a major, major skill set for them to have, because if you have to be, then that means that's essentially creating an environment where you do have to be there. Because if something goes wrong, they have no way of handling it. Nobody ever handles. We were fortunate enough to have somebody who used to be part of Danny Meyer's group at the Union Hospitality Training. We sent our managers to that. It's such a next level experience. If anybody has the opportunity to do it, I'm pretty sure they still run them. It's not cheap, but it's, you know, some sort of way to incentivize your manager. You're going to send them there, somebody who's really engaged. But being able to handle that without a manager or an owner stepping in is another key piece of
the lesson. Less than $13,000 to get in the New York Times for the PR firm you paid?
It's less than that.
About the same.
It's about the same.
God. We're going to like low-key rip on PR. There's going to be a lot of inside jokes on restaurant PR, I think, coming up after some of the stuff that we've seen. Also wanted to throw in the mix some of the mental health training and support stuff that I've seen in education. Yeah. There's a lot of manager mental health first aid type training that I think is really good. Some of the organizations I think about, Healthy Poor, which is Lauren Green, Chicago-based. They're doing some really good stuff. Also, up in Canada, you have Hassel Aviles from Not 9 to 5. That's kind of really at the forefront of what's happening in support of mental health. Chow, Culinary Hospitality Outreach and Wellness, that's Colorado-based. They got some great programs as well. So there's some education level that's also culture building, which is what I like about that. And it doesn't have to be this heavy stigmatized thing. So, yeah. Go educate, level up. Absolutely. Do not be afraid of education within your system. You're building a stronger bench, a deeper bench, as Kyle likes to say. Right. All right. Feeling good. Where are we at on time? We got some time. All right. Let's get into this. So we have been talking a lot about the celebrity-owned restaurant stuff. It's come up quite a few different times. And I see Kyle already rolling his eyes. This one I like because Let's just talk about this one. Meet the TV star who slings pizzas in Santa Monica when the cameras stop. This is Eater LA by Farley Elliott. This is Jay Harrington. Let me just read the quote from here. For more than a year now, Jay Harrington of hit CBS show SWAT has been the owner and often the on-site manager for Rockin' Pies, a colorful Wilshire Boulevard pizzeria and pub. So the big difference here from maybe what we've seen a lot of is this dude didn't slap his name on it. It's quite the opposite of Dobrik or Mr. Beast or some of that. He low-key got in there and started fucking running pizza. And I think the further back story was that he used to go there a lot, knew the owner. The owner was like, I'm done. I've had it. And he jumped in and bought it. So what do we think about this approach to celebrities getting into the restaurant through the side door? Kyle, come on. What do you got?
I knew you were going to ask me.
Of course.
My first thought is, number one, I think anybody who wants to open up a restaurant, obviously go for it. I just think the Dobrik stuff pissed me off because it was coming across like it was going to be super easy to do. But I just don't know why pizza. Man, it is hard to find good pizza people. It is real. It's almost like finding a baker. Like mess with like the dough. Like if you screw up the dough for the day, you got to close the next day. You know, there's a lot of training. And it is a workout. I don't know if you've ever stretched out like 300 pizzas in a shift. Your shoulders feel like they're going to separate from your body. And I don't know. I probably would not advise any celebrity or influencer to open up a pizza unless they're doing those. You ever see those pizza machines where you put the ball underneath and you just press it like a tortilla press?
Sure.
Some of those things, but that's not real chef-inspired.
We got the sheeter. People can throw it in the sheeter.
Yeah. I hate that.
And then they dock it? Oh, come on. Kyle, the docker. Let me just tell you the amazing revelation that is the pizza.
Pizza is like a religion over here. There's no...
Chef-inspired, Sean. Yeah.
Yes.
We're getting all chefy over here. Oh, yeah.
You mentioned Paco Jet. That's your chef inspired thing.
Come on.
That's
what show this week is dropping the Paco Jet? Who the fuck would drop the Paco Jet?
I dropped the Paco Jet once in real life.
What do you think about this? Celebrity owned through the side door. I don't know why I'm coining it that. That's what we got. What do you think, Sean?
I mean, me and my wife, we watch SWAT. So the fact that I saw that he actually opened up a pizza joint. I mean, let's just be honest. Anyone that's in the restaurant business, this is fucking hard work. And it's even harder when your stakes are higher as a celebrity or an athlete. So when Shaquille O'Neal puts his name on Big Chicken and they're out there slanging chicken sandwiches, it's much harder because he has a huge profile. Yes, it's also easier to get more attention if you're Kevin Hart and you're opening up Hart House. But you know, the fact that he's willing to get his hands dirty in a very difficult industry, you know, mad props to Jay. And he's, you know, his career obviously has done phenomenal in the Hollywood scene, but now what do you do in the restaurant scene? You know, now what do you do as an entrepreneur? Because he easily has enough money to invest and to hire somebody to do it. He doesn't have to slang his own pizzas. You know, Mr. Beast isn't in his own, Jimmy isn't in his his kitchens, his virtual kitchens. You know, he's not, you know, he's at the grand opening of his restaurants, but he's actually doing what he does best. So mad props to him to Jay to actually get in there and expo some pizzas or take orders.
He was talking about working 8-10 hours.
Or do whatever the work that he's doing, you know. It's incredible. It's mad props for sure.
He even acknowledged, you know, the long hours. He talking about 8-10 hour shifts just for him and how what a grind it is for the team. But he was also acknowledging that the team sometimes will kind of, you know, give him shit for not knowing the restaurant business. Yeah. And the fact that he's able to be a little bit, you know, have some levity around that, I think that's valuable for him to be able to be a good leader, because there's lots of people who are great at pizza or shit leaders who nobody wants to work for. Somebody like this who's coming in maybe with fresh eyes, a different perspective, but still has that respect and that hustle, it could be a formula that actually works. So
I mean, if you surround yourself with good people, right? Like Dave Grubman, that restaurant in Miami with Bad Bunny.
Yep.
That's, you know, that's what you want. You want the influence. Dave's certainly got his own influence, but he's an operator for sure. And those two come together. They're not gonna be back there making the drinks or you know, cooking the chicken, but they're gonna make
Baymax, the Adam robot's going to be making the drinks.
There we go.
Boston Robotics making.
This segment just turned into name drop every celebrity attached to food. This is great. Corey, tag all of them in this yeah. in this segment.
What was Gloria Estefan's restaurant? She had a restaurant too for a while.
I don't know why I just thought of what's his name from Walking Dead is an owner in a restaurant. Norman Reedus is an owner in a restaurant. And I don't know. I just want to like go to that restaurant and fucking hang out with Norman Reedus and like quote Boondock Saints. I don't know why that's like the one celebrity restaurant.
Boondock Saints. What are you talking? That's my jam.
I know. That's Boondock what I'm saying. Saints. I just want to go there, hang out with him and quote Boondock Saints.
Oh my gosh. I had a Boondock Saints poster in college. No bullshit.
It's wow.
Legit. You know about Boondock Saints, Kyle? You too.
I do know. Yeah,
I almost got the fucking Veritas tattoo when I was like,
there like we 19 go. Years Look old. At that. Wow. Wow.
You know, and I'm not even a Catholic or nothing. I still want to like recite the fucking prayer, man.
I learned something.
O to V, let's go. See the more rando facts. Look, we got a couple more minutes. We've been talking about this a little bit of doing some little, you know, almost these more like social media type stuff of like overrated, underrated, this or that, yay or nay type stuff. So I'm just gonna jump in. We didn't even talk about doing this, but I want to do some overrated, underrated pizza styles. Well, like we're gonna really piss some fucking people off. Kyle rolled his eyes more in this episode than any episode ever.
Can we talk about Brussels sprout chef, celebrity restaurants, and what was the other thing? Oh, I forget now, but it was something else. Irritable.
Really hard bringing the news.
Truffle parm 100%.
Fries. Oh my god, too funny. All right. Overrated, underrated. Let's do a couple pizza styles. We got like five. So California style pizza, overrated or underrated, Sean?
Can we have another segment? No.
What, you don't want to talk about California pizza?
Ovation, dude. What am I doing?
I don't know. I'm just amateur hour over here. I can't.
I just skipped ovation. We totally have another segment.
I can't get through a show without dude. Zach. I need my guy.
I was feeling my energy dropping a little bit. I'm wondering why.
Look, it's because I wrote a script out, so then I fucked it all up. Hold on.
Yeah, Mr.
And here I was giving all the props. I was giving all the props.
He's over here parading his script.
I was like, look, I wrote a script, so maybe we can stay on script. No, I shouldn't have done that. Bad idea. All right, let's get into this. Next week, we're doing over-under pizza styles. We're doing it. It's happening because I already like put my foot in my mouth. All right. Guest experience presented by Ovation. We're going to hear from our guy, Zach. Ovation is a two-question survey platform for real-time feedback, better online reviews, and happier guests. So we're basically going to end with Zach. He's the headliner for today, which is very appropriate. Here we go.
As I often speak around the country at restaurant trade shows, I'll ask the participants, do you want to know a secret? Do you want to know a secret to increasing revenue by 5% starting tomorrow? And they lean in. I say, are you sure you want to know? And they say, yeah. And I say, answer your freaking phones. It is so frustrating to call and to just not get an answer. And it happens so often at big chains, at small locations. Like, people just don't answer the phones. Phones have been the bane of restaurants' existence for so long, a necessary evil. And I want to let you know here first, Ovation is working on a phone system that'll turn all of those phone calls into text conversations to make it super simple. But the question I have for you is, what have you done to decrease the no answer or the can you please hold click that just ruins a guest experience? That's my question for you, is how do you fix the calls?
Yeah, we couldn't have skipped Zach's segment. Zach always brings the energy. Did you guys lean in? I leaned in a little bit. I couldn't help it. He told me to.
What?
Phones. What do you think? Who wants to pick this one up? Talk about answering the damn phone.
I turn off the phone.
Yeah, the pizza place used to unplug the phone.
Well, I turn off the phone. An automated message on all of our busiest days, on the Father's Day, 4th of July, any of the highest volume days, and I tell people, thank you for calling. Please place your order online. Go to our website, or you can text us at our local number, and the local number is Ovation. So Ovation has localized a number for us. It's a 619 number, San Diego, and now people will text and start communicating with our manager on duty. So Eric will be able to run Point, and you can run multiple conversations, solve people's problem, direct them to order online, resolve complaints, ask them, oh, I need to change my order. It's absolutely incredible. And the fact that Ovation's developing something for the telephones, I think it's phenomenal. I can't wait till they roll it out so I can permanently turn off the phone and just start chatting, texting with customers.
I mean, then you don't even have a phone. There is no physical phone there anymore.
And right? Then it's always answered. It's always answered with a text, immediate digital hospitality communication.
Yeah. And then you don't have that wall of
awkward. We have the worst fucking hold music. It's like brutal.
You need to take that Baymax music.
Brutal. Makes me want to poke my eyeballs out.
That's bad. I love the technology spin, because we used to, at several of my restaurants, answering the phones was one of the most important things to me, because it was our first opportunity to communicate with a potential guest. So there were times where we had somebody who just was answering phones. Like, they weren't even the host answering phones. They were just answering the phones. And a lot of it was, go to the website, go to OpenTable, go to the website, go to OpenTable. Here's our hours. And so a lot of those answers, they're just looking for some simple answers. 9 times out of 10, they're the same 3 or 4 questions they're asking. So if you can be prompted to get those answered as quickly as possible, as efficiently as possible, I'm a big fan of that for sure. I think the text model, we talked about it last week, that it personalizes the communication and interaction, especially when you start to talk about younger millennials into Gen Z. Text is the way to communicate, full stop. Kyle's mentioned his daughter several times. Like, that is how you set the tone for the relationship, is through texting.
Oh man, I got a funny one today. But we were talking about the all-in podcast. I messaged you guys the other day. The guy was talking about on the show about how his 13-year-old doesn't know how to answer the phone. Like, he's like, eh.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? So he's like, told him, he's like, from now on, every time you call me, I'm going to act like I'm calling you, and you're going to practice. And he said like 10 times, the kid was just like, huh? Yeah. And he's like, no, you need to start practicing this. He's like, these kids don't know how to communicate on the phone.
Yep.
So if you can get it to a system like, you know, what Sean's talking about there with the texting, is like, that's amazing, because it's consistent. It's what people want. They all need basically the same answer to a similar question.
Well, nobody calls a restaurant wants to wait on hold either.
No.
Right? Not with that music.
Not with that fucking music.
Definitely not with that music.
Got that opera music on there.
Oh my God.
It also makes me think of that.
I wish it was opera music.
I know you do.
I wish it was.
A progressive commercial where, you know, can't save you from becoming your parents type thing, where they're talking about the phone. It's like, no, don't leave a message. 9 times out of 10, a text will do. It's like, you got to repeat the number, all of that. So it's a big shift in our approach as well. And I know we make fun of kids when we see the video of kids trying to figure out how to use a rotary phone, and making fun of them because they don't know how to use it.
Or they don't know how to hang it up. They're like,
yeah. But fuck you. You don't know how to do 900 things that they know how to do with technology. Yeah. So get over your antiquated technology stuff. And I'm a big fan of, as quickly as you can get it to the mobile phone as possible, I think is great. I even think of like what's happening now, you know, like, guys, hold up your hand to mimic a phone, and we'll all go like this because we're old.
Yeah.
Well, my 1.5-year-old just automatically, I said, where's dad's phone? She goes, boom, like this, which you see kids do now. Because they've never seen a phone that has 2 inputs. A phone looks like this.
I like this. They were the ones that used to be like this.
Yeah. Like this, and you're holding the speaker. Round. Hello?
The operator on the line? Yeah.
Gertrude, can you hear me? So I think anything that we can do to make that a more seamless experience for people. And I think you're going to have some people that are like, why don't you answer your phones? Like, why don't you learn how to fucking text? I don't know.
So I can answer your question about what time we close. It's on the website. Yeah.
Just press 1 for all the answers that you're probably going to ask. You can just sequence them. Your first question, here are ours. Your second question, you can order online. Your third question, yes, there is parking out front. Like, there you go. Done. 48 seconds. I answered all of your questions. You didn't have to stay on hold for Kyle's horrible hold music. All right. Now that was a proper show. Now I don't wonder why we had so much time left after that segment.
Stupid. No more scripts.
Stupid script.
Can we get an internet sponsor? Get Jensen some internet?
I think because I record it, all of the bandwidth is on my end, but we have 100 megabytes per second or whatever, and still it's not enough because
we need the granddaddy of them all. Who's the granddaddy? Who has the most powerful internet in Colorado?
That'll set off a war. That's like their whole thing. We're more powerful than you. We're more powerful than you.
Yeah.
Robots. I need a robot one.
That's awesome. All right. This chef-inspired episode was fun. A little bit of levity, a little fun. And welcome to David Joseph and Davo by Avalara. What are they called?
Avalara.
Davo by Avalara, not aloe vera.
Aloe vera.
Not for Burns, for automating sales tax. Oh man, what a great show! All kinds of discombobulated. All right, everyone, let us know what we can do better next time. Besides me, I know all the things I need to do better next time. I'm gonna get replaced as the host here,
robot host.
We need the Baymax robot. Just needs to be able to do intros and push buttons for segment videos, and I'm gone. I'm out of here. All right, as always, get to us on social media at Restaurant Idea Factory. Go to restaurantideafactory.com. You can sign up or let us know a topic that you're looking to hear about. Clearly, we're very actionable on that. We always want to hear from you. If it's important to you, it's important to us. We want to get it on air as we, you know, move towards, I don't know, becoming the nightly news, guys. I feel like that's what we need. We're going to be giving people what they need, the information in real time, so that they can focus on what makes the money. I think what Davo's talking about is going to be super important. So leave the rest to us. All right, that's it. Good show, boys.
Peace.
See you in episode 11. Cheers.
Subscribe to full episodes Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn.